As we are listening to those wonderful words, isn't it awesome to realize there's really rest in the Savior? Aren't you grateful that you know Him today? I tell you. Through all the things that we faced this past year, we just praise God for that perfect peace that He has given us, and we trust, should He tarry, as we face the new year, that the Lord once again gives us that peace and that rest that we so desperately need. Let us open our Bibles this morning to our text in Jude. The book in the New Testament just before the end, the last book of Revelation. We've been in Jude for some time. Jude, beginning in verse 1, follow with me as I read the first seven verses of Jude. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness, and deny the only God, only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt afterward, destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. We will stop there for this morning. Shall we pray? Father, again, as we look at your word, Father, we understand they truly are your word. And Father, I pray that you would bless now this time as we look into your word. And I pray the Holy Spirit would empower me to proclaim, Father, what you have laid upon my heart. And I pray that every heart that is here this morning, the Holy Spirit would open in the hearts to be receptive to what you might have for us this morning. We commit this time to you with thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Well, it's no news to you. We are now in the new year. As long as I've been in our church, in the Madera Baptist Church, I've had the privilege as your pastor to select a verse for the year that we would embrace as our people, that not only that it would, if you will, be a theme or something that we'd live by for this coming year, should the Lord tarry. And whether we are raptured or whether we leave this earth by death, that we would live the way the Lord has dictated for us to live in His Word. As I was considering a verse for the year, there were a number of verses that came to mind that the Lord laid upon my heart, this particular verse that was shared with you earlier. And really, I would encourage you, if you could, memorize verse 3 of Jude, but just this portion of it really is what I've selected as this: that we would contend earnestly for the faith, and it says, that was once for all delivered to the saints. We're going to talk a little bit about what it means to contend earnestly for the faith. I think sometimes we say we're Christians, and we say, well, we rejoice in what we have, but in a world that is continuously darkening, that we would contend earnestly for the faith. Beloved, I believe today there's an urgency that we apply this to our lives today. Because as we know, apostasy has crept into the church in so many areas. Not our church, but in the church as a whole. There are so many that are out there that are not proclaiming the truth. And really, apostasy means to know the truth and that you reject that truth. And even beyond that, to take the truth and then twist that truth in order to explain the sinful lifestyle that an individual might be living. Now, I'm telling you, the apostasy, when I say the apostasy is coming to church, I'm talking about the church as a whole. I believe that Madera Baptist Church, I believe that we are holding the truth. I believe that with all the power that God has given us through the Holy Spirit, that we live that truth. But beloved, I will tell you this, that there are individuals sadly standing behind pulpits that are preaching apostasy. And I say that with a great deal of concern. Because beloved, the only thing that ought to be preached is the Word of God. You know, just to give you an idea of apostasy, I read in the news where I believe it was on Christmas Day, where NASA with some other group sent off a very sophisticated telescope off into space. And this particular telescope was supposed to arrive in its destination of several months or so. I don't remember, 3 months or so. But the idea of this telescope is it's so intense that it's able to, their idea is to be able to ascertain whether there is life on other planets. And there is such a belief that they believe that will transpire that a man or an individual that is named by the Reverend Dr. Andrew Davison, who along with 23 other theologians are preparing to be able to explain life on other planets to the degree where they even are talking about how are they going to explain that there is one, there is more than one incarnation of Christ. Now, I say that with a great deal of fear, trepidation. Understand this. Do you know what my Bible says? My Bible says that God created the heaven and the earth. My Bible says that God made the planets. God created all the stellar universe that's out there. God created life on this earth. My Bible also says that God came in the form of Lord Jesus Christ on this earth once for all men. Beloved, I want to say this. In my lifetime, I've been asked, do you have religious objections to certain issues? And I won't go into them, you know what they are. I say, no, I don't have a religious objection. I have a biblical objection. That is the issue. I have several times in my lifetime, and now at my age, I don't have to do jury duty anymore, but I've had to go in a jury, and I remember this one time in Santa Cruz, when I was living there, they asked me, do you have any religious objection to the issue that was being dealt with? And I said, absolutely not, but I have a biblical objection, and that's what I base my life upon, and they told me to leave. Beloved, that's a sad day that we're living in. We are talk so often about, you know, in this postmodern culture that we live in, that truth is relative. But along with truth being relative, I believe that moralism is relative as well. But then I went to another degree. I think that also in many cases, the biblical truth is also relative in some people's lives. By that I mean this, and you understand relatively, you understand that when you talk about truth being relative, in other words, if whatever you embrace as truth, that is truth, and that's for you, so that's okay. So then whatever you believe is morally wrong, morally correct, is if you agree with that, that's okay. Along with that, if you think there's certain scripture, Bibles, verses don't apply to you, and it's really not applicable, then that's okay. Beloved, I stand here on the basis of God's word. There is no relative scripture. It is true, every bit of it. And beloved, I say that out of love. The word of God is being so diluted today that it causes me great concern. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, if you have your Bibles. And 2 Timothy, and we're looking at chapter 3. Very familiar verses. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes these words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That word in the Greek is the word that has the idea that it's breathed out by God. I don't know that that we truly grasp that every time that we read the Word of God, every word that is written here has been breathed out by God, who has been given the authority to men to write His words. Beloved, there I look at these. We always talk about authors of Scripture. I believe they're writers of Scripture. God is the ultimate author. I submit to you that every, 783,000 words are pertained in the Word of God, every one of them are true. And I will say this, they're not up for discussion. They're not controversial. Many years ago, in our former church, I had an individual come to me and ask me to explain what I just read, it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Where we find these words. I'm sorry. That's not the one I'm looking for. Yeah, it's what I just read. 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for recruit, for direction in righteousness, the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. There's a passage where he talks about, is Scripture under, can we take Scripture and discern from Scripture something that make it applicable to our lives? And I said, really, the idea of the Word of God is that we do not take Scripture and apply it to our lives, that we apply our lives to Scripture. You see, Scripture, the Word of God, has been given to us to live our lives. And beloved, when I selected this verse, contend earnestly for the faith, that verse, that those two words, contend earnestly, translate to be a present infinitive. And what that means is this. When the Apostle Paul wrote when Jude wrote these words, contend earnestly for the faith, it's an imperative that goes right now and it goes on into eternity. It's an imperative, beloved, that we today, regardless of all that is around us, we are to contend earnestly for the faith. And beloved, what that means is this. When it's that word contend earnestly in the Greek means to agonize for the truth. There's a constant battle for defending the truth. And I will go as far as to say this, it's not some nebulous belief that's been propagated by some religious organization. It's the truth of God's Word. Beloved, we are to defend every word. That word that was once for all delivered to the saints, I cannot, in my inabilities to articulate, begin to try to describe to you how impactful these words were for me these past several weeks. As I feel the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to contend earnestly for the faith. Jude says here in this particular passage, apostasy is here. The attacks on the truth are coming from the inside. By that I mean this, there are people standing behind pulpits, men standing behind the pulpits that are apostate. They are not taking the truth of the Word of God. Beloved, I believe this with all of my heart. If things continue to go the way they are, there may be a day coming. Someone mentioned, I believe it was Phyllis in Sunday school class, that there's some government official attending some church to make sure that a pastor, is that true, that does not preach anything that's contrary to the Word of God. preach political correctness. Beloved, there is no political correctness. There's truth in the Word of God. Beloved, I've thought about this so many times, and I've said this to you a number of years ago, back when the Columbine incident took place. And beloved, I say this with a great deal of emotion. A high school girl, when these shooters came in, as I recall how it went, if anybody here believes in God, would you stand up? Or who defends the Word of God? This little girl stood up and she said, I believe in God. And she was shot dead on the spot. I wonder how many of us, if we were to come in this building today, someone to come in and say, how many of you stand true to the Word of God? Stand up. Would you stand with a machine gun in your face? Would I stand up? Contend earnestly for the faith. Beloved, when we think about contending earnestly for the faith, if you will, we're not here to lambaste other people. We are called to defend the truth. Beloved, I believe that when someone is teaching something contrary to the Word of God, rather than being an accusing, you need to read the Word of God and let the Word of God accuse them. Beloved, hear this. This is why it is imperative for us to contend earnestly for the faith. Because the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, it's coming. John, the Apostle John, in Epistles 1, 2, and 3 said it's coming. Peter said in 2 Peter, it's coming. Our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew said it's coming. Jude says it is now here. I have read these verses to you, these words to you a number of times, beloved, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, where it says there, the Apostle Paul says, the day of the Lord will not come unless the falling away comes first. Beloved, it is here. And as Brother Fennell had a list of things, what are you planning to do for the year 2022? Wow, I can't believe it's already here. What will you do in this year should the Lord tarry? Beloved, I don't even know what this year holds. But I will tell you this, apostasy is here and it's ever on the increase. So as I think about all this apostasy, that we contend earnestly for the faith. Let me quickly remind you of four characteristics of an apostate. Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy and chapter 3 and verse 5. As I look at that verse, let me begin reading in verse 1, but I'm going to hone in verse 5. The Apostle Paul writes in verse 1 of 3, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. The first characteristic of an apostate is one who denies the reality of who God is. You see, I hear so many people say, well, I believe in a higher power. Or there is a God, but they don't acknowledge that God is the very God that offers us life, the very God that has this earth spinning on its axis, the very God that gives us another day. They have no regard for the power of God's Word. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, we find these words. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. The second thing about apostasy is they deny the person of Jesus Christ. Beloved, when we are to contend earnestly for the faith, we are to contend and we are to let the world know that who God is. That I as a Christian, that I as a born-again son of God, understand that I fear God, I reverence God for who He is. It concerns me when I hear people use God's name in vain. Do you understand who God is? But then I understand people that say, well, as long as I believe in God, I'm okay. As long as I believe in a higher power, I'm okay. You know what the Word of God says? An apostate says that however you believe about God, that's okay. But you know what the Bible says? The only way I can come to God is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. To understand that Jesus Christ is God, was God in human flesh. And then thirdly, they attack the gospel. That goes along with what I just mentioned. They attack the reality that says, where the Bible says the only way to God is through Christ and Christ alone. And then, beloved, sadly, number four, they deny holy living. There's so many people that say, well, I'm a Christian, but they live just like the world. They live no different than the world lives. So now, back in our text, Jude, having received the charge by the Holy Spirit that we are called to battle, if you will, we are called to war against apostasy. We are told here in verse 4 of Jude, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Beloved, I don't stand before you, and I don't want to stand here, as I said a moment ago, to lamb-based people that are preaching ungodly truths. But beloved, I'm telling you this, that as long as God has called me to stand behind this pulpit, I'm going to proclaim His truth. I'm going to contend earnestly for the faith. And I'm going to teach you and preach to you right what God's Word says, and that alone. You see, beloved, we don't become Christians and then I hear people say, well, God forgives me. Yeah, He does. Then under that same premise, they say, well, okay, God, I accept it. I believe in God and I can live my life the way I want to live my life. That's not what the Bible says. I've had to confront professing believers about their walk, and they will tell me time and time again, God understands He's forgiving. But beloved, my God is forgiving, but He demands obedience. Beloved, we have been called to arms, if you will. We have been called to defend the truth. In verse 4 of Jude, it says, they are marked out for condemnation because they are ungodly. They are going to be condemned. The Bible makes it very clear. Jude resorts now to remind them of history in verses 5 through 7. Where he says, here the apostates among the Gentiles, here's their condemnation. The apostates among the angels, apostates among the Jews, no matter who it is, that one who denies the truth is the one who will be condemned. Before we look at verse 5, I want to make something very clear. I've said this many times. If you are a believer here this morning, a true believer, you cannot lose your salvation. John chapter 10 tells us that the ones who God has given to Christ, He will not allow anyone to snatch them out of His hand. And beloved, I will tell you this: a believer can be influenced by apostasy. But as you contend earnestly for the faith, as you stay true to the Word of God, it will not influence you. And let me just say this: an apostate can come to know Christ as their Savior if we continue to contend earnestly for the faith. You see, beloved, when a Christian falls away from the truth, God will discipline you. I've been a Christian for over 60 years of my life, but I will tell you this, that through my life, I'm not perfect. I'm like anybody else, but I will tell you this. Those times when I began to wander away, the Lord brought me back, and I praised God for that. Beloved, we have been given a clear command to contend for the faith. And I pray that as long as God gives me the strength to stand behind this pulpit, as long as God gives me a mind to be able to teach, preach His Word, I pray that this church, we stay true to the Word of God. I thought about this. We read when Jude first began to write, he said, I wanted to write to you, if you will, about the joy of salvation. And you know, I was thinking about this, and then he says, well, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit turned to me and said, I need to write this, and to write about apostasy. Think about this. Sometimes I am so grateful for my salvation. I truly am. I'm grateful that in 1955 the Lord sought to save me, and I'm so grateful the Lord has been in my life through these many, many years. But sometimes we can get so comfortable in our salvation, we forget to understand that we need to contend for the faith. It's almost like God tells Jude, okay, Jude, great about your salvation, but live out your salvation. So then he begins to articulate these great details that relates to contending earnestly for the faith. In verse 5, we read these words, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. So he begins here where he talks about apostate Jews. He says, you know this. Obviously, they knew the Old Testament scriptures, and obviously the apostles taught these things as well, but think about this for just a moment. He says this, they delivered you out of the hand of Egypt. Remembering that, and I've thought about this, and beloved, there's a whole sermon that could be preached on this whole thing. But for those, this should just remind you, the Jews had been in captivity for 400 years. They're under slave labor, and they're saying, God, please deliver us. God, please deliver us. In prayer, God, please deliver us. What happens? God sends Moses, and Moses comes in, and God uses Moses to display His power, and through all these 10 plagues until the last plague, and all the times until they came to the last one, things got worse, and all they would complain, Moses, why in the world did you even bother doing this? Why? Why? Then after the 10th plague, when the firstborn were killed, all were killed and they were released. We all know the account there. What happens? They all get all free and they rejoice, and all of a sudden they're running for their lives, and they get to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden they got this big sea out behind them, in front of them, and look behind them, and there is the Egyptian army coming after them. Thanks a lot, Moses. Did you bring us out here just to die out here? Why didn't you just let us die there? We look at that rather critically, but beloved, I'll tell you, we would examine our own lives. Then God, through Moses, opens the Red Sea for them to walk through. Now understand this. Through the sea, He opens up the sea. And beloved, some must say, well, that's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. And if my Bible says that it's true, you know what? Not only did He part the sea, but the ground wasn't even muddy. They walked through dry, and they turned around. They watched the Egyptian army coming through. They all drowned. They get the other side. What happens? Moses, we're thirsty. For crying out loud, what'd you bring us out here to die for? God provides them water. Now they want meat to eat, and God provides them meat. They continually complain over and over again. And from the very beginning, God said, I have a land of promise for you. With that, I'm going to get you there. 40 years later, they come right to their very border of Canaan. What do? Rather than trust God, they send spies and go check it out, make sure we can take them. Wait a minute, what did God just do? Only Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we got this. The rest of them said, it's impossible, there's giants that live there. You know, I can sit here and criticize them, but how many times in my life have I seen how God has provided my life? But then I come to another issue in my life and I say, God, why in the world are you allowing this to happen? Beloved, I told you this last Sunday. But just recently in my life, you all know this, when my wife ended up in a hospital, I had to call the ambulance in the hospital. I said, Lord, why? Then I thought things were going well, and then she fell right in the cement out here, and I thought to myself, God, why this? Now my youngest daughter has got some very serious health issues going on right now. But I keep saying over and over my mind, I stopped questioning God, because you know what? He took me through the Red Sea once before. He provided water for me when I was thirsty. He provided food for me when I needed it. You know what? He's going to see me through the rest of this. Contend earnestly for the faith. You see, Israel chose to take matters in their own hands rather than obey God. They became apostate. And what did God do? He said, those who are 20 years and older, you're going to die. You're not even going to go in the promised land. Why? Because they're the ones who knew the truth. You see, beloved, here's the issue. When I contend earnestly for the faith, I understand this. The Lord Jesus Christ told us, even in John, he said, life is not going to be easy. There are going to be trials. But what did he say? I'm going to be with you. You know, my Bible says that as I go through all these things in life, that I know the ultimate end. You know where I'm going? I got the promised land. I'm going to heaven. If you're here this morning, you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. If I were to ask you, and I'm not going to ask you to do this because if I were to ask you, do you believe with all of your heart that you're going to heaven, would you stand? I'm not going to ask you to do that, but in your mind, would you stand? At the same time, if you believe that, as we go through the issues of life, are you willing to understand, you know what? God has promised you eternal life. And as you believe those things, beloved, I'm going to tell you this. I'm telling myself this. If I believe with all of my heart that God is in control of my life, as it says there in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it says, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice always. Beloved, that doesn't mean, oh, I'm just happy. Guess what? I'm sick and all these kind of things. No, I rejoice because I know God is in control of my life. Whoever said that, praise God for that. How often have we experienced God's provision? How many times have we seen His leading in our lives through those difficult times? How often have we experienced God fulfilling His promises in our life and we question Him today? How many times do we doubt His word or question His word? Beloved, we are living obviously in very uncertain days. Our nation is in turmoil. Violence and immorality are everywhere. Lawlessness is pervasive. But God's word said this will happen. But if you're a Christian, don't fear. He's coming again. John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ, before He went to the cross, said this, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when I do, I'm coming back to take you to be with me. The disciples in Acts chapter 1 saw Him go to heaven. The angels said to them, the way you saw Him coming, He's coming back. Beloved, when I contend earnestly for the faith, when I believe the Word of God, I know He's coming again. Jesus said in John 16:33, that I mentioned just a moment ago, we will have difficulties in this life, but through it all, He will be with us. Beloved, I would ask you, and I'm going to remind you this morning, that as we have selected this verse, contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all given to us by the saints. That is the word of God that was given to all the apostles that wrote the word of God, and their associates wrote these words. Beloved, that is the faith we are to contend for. And as we are just now getting ready to go to the Lord's table to have communion, that we as believers would partake, partake of these elements, that we commit to contend earnestly for the faith. I was raised in a Christian home. Praise God for that. My father was a pastor for a number of years. My father was a professor in a seminary until the Lord took him home. But I'm going to tell you this. Just because I was raised in a Christian home, just because my dad was a pastor, just because my dad was a professor at a seminary, does not mean that I became a Christian. I had to understand my own sin. I received Christ because the Lord chose to save me. Beloved, can I just tell you this? Can I just shout this in just a few moments? Can I just shout this? That we as Christians, as we would commit to contend earnestly for the faith, live the Word of God for what it says, and only that way. As our men are now coming forward, I want to read something that I do every time we have communion. And let me just say this. The reason it is called